Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to New Life Live. Zach Matchett here, filling in for Steve Arterburn. So glad you are joining us today. We would love to take your calls. We're going to be here for 2 hours. And so we're excited to be good listeners, to be good encouragers, and give you some direction if you need anything. 1-800-229-3000 is the number. So please give us a call. I am tag teaming today with two counterparts. I have Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hi, Jill.
Hello, Zach.
Good to see you again. We're talking about fall beginning and starting and different parts of the country and how we wish there were seasons, but you just got back from Ohio.
I did.
So you
I
got
did.
The Midwest
and I
fall
got to
experience.
See the leaves, and I love that.
It is. It's beautiful.
It excites me.
Yeah. That's right. And then also Chris Williams. Hi, Chris.
Yes. Hey, Zach. Good to hear your voice, man.
I know. It's great to be with you again. And just the seasons. If you're a Midwestern person listening today, you know the fall. That's probably our best selling point, people. Us Midwesterners, it's like, oh, just come for the fall. Don't talk to us about the white stuff that falls on the ground later. Just,
yeah, that's
let's just
when
focus
I'm happy
on the
to
leaves.
Be in California.
Absolutely. Okay, I want to start our program today. As a pastor, I talk with people a lot who are going through what I would describe as a bit of a crisis of faith. Maybe they grew up in a Christian family, or they had some sort of faith background. Something happened, some circumstances or whatever, and they recognize, I'm doubting whether God is real, or I'm doubting whether this is worth it, or people say, hey, you're going to overcome that situation, and you start to think to yourself, yeah, right, there's no chance. And so in some traditions, I think doubt is more frowned upon.
Mm-hmm.
It's seen as negativity. It's seen a lack of belief or a lack of faith. And yet we see in the scriptures a very different approach to doubt. We see the psalmist doubting many times.
Yep.
We hear Jesus say, you know, God, why have you forsaken me? Echoing one of those psalms. You know, John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, doubts that, you know, he and his wife are going to be pregnant, and then he can't talk for the rest of the pregnancy. And then Mary doubts the birth of Jesus, and she just gets more information from the angel. So it's like all these really complicated relationships with doubt. But what I want to ask you guys is, as you sit with people who are doubting, am I ever going to get through this situation, this challenge, what would you counsel them with?
Well, but Zach, first to your point about people doubting God, I just want to say, first, I think God can handle all of our
doubt.
Absolutely.
Right? Yes.
So we don't have to worry about that. And I think doubt gives us an opportunity to actually deepen our relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
Because if you're just basing your relationship on when God does good things for you, right, when the hard times hit, you're going to have some doubt. And so really, it's to grow and mature and deepen, because without God, what else is there? Where would we be, right?
I would go as far as to say it's necessary.
It's
necessary for our maturation, for our growth. You know, the theologian Walter Brueggemann talks about three phases of our faith that are more secular that we go throughout life. One is orientation. And that's just kind of like, we know what we know, what we're given, right? But there's a time in our life where that our orientation no longer works.
Right.
That could be tragedy, it could be pain, and we'll go into a time of disorientation.
Mm.
And usually there's a temptation to go back to orientation, or sometimes there's a temptation to burn it all down. And what he says is, no, keep going, get curious, stay with it, because you'll get to a point of reorientation.
Mm.
Listen, this is Good Friday had to be the most disorienting thing on planet Earth to those close to Jesus.
Right.
And Saturday was that Holy Saturday, incredibly disoriented. They had to go through it to get to a reorientation of the Resurrection Sunday. It's natural. Stay with it. ask questions, get curious, but most importantly, keep going.
That's right. Well said. And that's a good setup, because I think there may be people listening today that are going through that season of doubt, whether it's about themselves or about God. Take heart. You're not alone. Give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. We'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Thanks again for joining us. Zach Matchett here, filling in for Steve Arterburn. Chris Williams and Dr. Jill Hubbard are with me. We are a tag team today. Want again, just encourage you, give us a call. 1-800-229-3000 is the number. Just before we went on the break, we were talking about this idea of doubt, and I was just sharing, sometimes we get so seeped into doubt, like doubting ourselves, doubting God, that it becomes this like concrete barrier that it's like, well, even if I tried to knock that thing over, I would never get past it. And it's almost kind of getting into this doubt to despair type thing. And maybe we just need to, as Christians, certainly, but as people and families and whatever groups we're a part of, create safe environments to express doubt. Because if you stuff it rather than say it, that probably is more problematic. And so as we think about this, again, if you're listening today and you've maybe gone through this and you're like, I'm not sure this is even worth unearthing what I'm going through in my life or this challenge, there could be some doubt there that's taking root that's turning into a bit of despair. And maybe the first barrier to overcome is just to say it out loud, to express it, even if you feel like, oh, am I allowed to say, you know, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. And so I just really want to encourage you today, because again, as a pastor, I've just been hearing this theme more and more, and I think to myself, no, God can handle it. Jill, well said, yeah, there at the beginning. Like, he can take a lot worse, and he mm-hmm. can handle the things that we ask him. We got a couple workshops coming up in Washington, D.C. that I think will be super helpful for many of our listeners. We have Every Man's Battle coming up November 4th through the 6th. And then we have Restore for the Women, November 11th through the 13th. You can go to newlife.com to get all the information. If financial things are preventing you from going, okay, well, I'm not sure I can handle that, please contact us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. There are scholarships available. Just throw out to you guys just a brief comment about these events. These are things we do frequently here at New Life and seen so much life change. But for those that may be new to hearing about Every Man's Battle and Restore, what are those things?
Well, I think to be stuck in our destructive patterns is torture.
Mm-hmm.
Or to be stuck in our pain.
Oh, yeah.
And fear is mm-hmm. also torture.
Mm-hmm.
And to try to get through it on our own is also cruel.
It is.
And so what these workshops offer is a chance, is a safe, secure place to face those things
mm-hmm.
that are coming against us, and a pathway to lead towards greater freedom so that we don't have to live in the torture and the cruelty of the pain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Every Man's Battle is the focus of that. And Chris, as you were saying, that is more of the sexual integrity.
Yes.
For that. And then for Restore, Jill, speak to maybe what that is uniquely.
Well, I just think it's one of the most, speaking to what you said about pain,
yeah, Chris,
most painful things
yes.
to
yes.
feel betrayed, or to have someone, in a sense, sin against you.
Yeah.
And talking about doubt, it causes so much self-doubt.
Yes.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And so to be able to go someplace and to be affirmed, mm-hmm. as well as to be able to expose your pain and your shame, because
yes.
I think so many of the women take on the shame
yes.
That doesn't really belong to them.
Absolutely.
Right? Or
yeah.
it marries with their own shame that they brought into the mm-hmm. relationship. And so there's so much freedom, I think, in being able to be there amongst the other women and know that you're not alone and hear really good teaching, solid teaching
yes.
about it.
And I'd like to say it like this. We are harmed in relationship. We will not heal in isolation.
Right, exactly.
We need great. Relationship.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Great. Well said. Yeah. And so if that's you, if you find yourself in a situation like that, again, go to newlife.com. We would be more than happy to get you the information that you need. Let's go ahead and get to the phone lines here. Again, 1-800-229-3000 is the number. So give us a call. We're going to go to Amy first. Amy is listening to us in Cincinnati, Ohio. Hi, Amy. Welcome to New Life Live. How can we help you today?
I'm calling because I've got a spiritual matter that I'm needing some guidance with. I have a 9-year-old daughter that she's disabled, and we are dealing with a
spiritual warfare in a townhome apartment that we moved into 3 years ago, and it's been going on for about 2.5 years. I did have someone come to do a house cleansing and a house blessing, but it only made it worse. And I've been praying about it. I've tried to burn like frankincense and myrrh. I've used holy water, anointing oils. I feel like I'm a loss for words. I've become frustrated because I don't know why it's happening. I don't know why it won't go away.
And Amy, can you tell us what the it is? What are you experiencing?
I believe it's a demonic presence.
Okay, so tell us what you're experiencing.
My 9-year-old daughter there says that there is a couple of children that are here in this apartment, and they talk to her and tell her to do bad things, like to beat on her mother and so what. But I don't believe that these are children or even ghosts. I believe they're more of a demonic presence that is, you know, changing what they look like to draw a child in. Now, I've been a member of the Assemblies of God Church for many years, and I believe firmly and 100% in Jesus Christ, and that he died for me and my sins on that cross. And I also believe that Jesus gave us the power of the word to speak, to rebuke these things out in the name of Jesus. Like
sure, but you said that you've tried that and you feel like it's been ineffective. I remember you said that earlier, right? Where you felt like you kind of came, prayed over it, kind of blessed the home, and you still feel like it's still going on. Is that true?
It does. What happens is whenever she comes to me and tells me, Mommy, you know, it's right here, and this is what it looks like, and this is what it says or does. I go directly straight through to it because as a child, I also went through things like that, and I know how scary that is, but I'm not afraid anymore because I know my God is bigger and stronger. Yeah. And
well, we believe that too. We believe that too. I'm sorry to cut you off because I want to let Chris and Jill kind of give you some direction here. And so let me just throw this out real quick. Thank you for calling. This is, as a parent, I know this has got to be a precarious situation to see a child feel scared or feel like she's seeing these things, whether they're a demonic presence or hallucination, doesn't matter. Like, it's a scary thing for a child to walk through and feel out of control of how to deal with it. Obviously, as Christians, we believe the evil is very real. You know, Paul talks about there's powers and principalities. You know, there's things going on in a spiritual realm that we can't see here in the physical, tangible world. But from the perspective of you guys, and Chris, I'll throw it to you, and then Jill, you can answer as well. I mean, does this feel like a purely spiritual matter, that something is going on? Is there something else that may be contributing to this? Because I don't want to undermine the situation that it's not kind of the spiritual thing, but there could be some other factors. So, Chris, how would you respond?
Well, I think as far as like what's the nature of this, it's D, all of the above.
Yeah.
And we have to start uncovering as many rocks here as possible. But, Amy, before I jump in, I just want I want clarity to make sure I'm guiding in the right direction. What is the question for us? How can we help you today?
I'm looking for spiritual help for anybody that can help remove this from my home.
Okay, so
I'd like to see my daughter living in fear and torture. I don't live this way. I'm a Christian, and I just want it gone.
Sure. And so I'm going to start with that spiritual nature, okay? So when it comes to what is spiritual and what is like what's in the world, my perspective is yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That what happened, so C.S. Lewis in his book Screwtape Letters, Uncle Screwtape calls says something to Woodworm. So the master demon says something to the junior demon, and he says, "You can't forget what they always do," meaning human beings, "that what their bodies do affects their souls." And I think that that's a really good place to start, because as a person who works with highly traumatized people, or mildly traumatized people, people who paid their entrance fee on the planet Earth, which is pain, I see that our pain does have, or our experiences here on Earth definitely affects our soul. It has a spiritual nature to it, mm-hmm. as it has an earthy nature to it as well. So I mention all of that, Amy, to ask, has your daughter experienced pain? Meaning, has she experienced painful or traumatic incidences in her life?
No. None.
None.
I basically.
Okay.
What is her disability?
Yeah. What's her? Yeah.
Her disability is autism, high functioning autism, mild intellectual disability, which is also high functioning. She has a speech delay, and she has a ADHD, an ADD, and an OCD.
And then, okay, Amy, there's a lot going on here that goes on in her mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we want to be able to do is that as there's a lot of mental struggles that she is dealing with, we want to be able to get her the help in those areas so she can find a peace of mind.
Go ahead.
Go for it, Jill. Yeah.
And sometimes, Amy, in that, I think that, you know, God has given us a lot of different types of resources in which to battle things. And if one way that we try isn't getting us the results, we need to keep adding, because I agree with the guys, it's all of the above. And so from our perspective, what can we do? Well, we can seek out the help that can help us sort through things. And so one is to ask the Lord, "Lord, what else would you have me do?" Right? Because we'd all like someone to come and pray, and then our troubles to be gone, right?
Yeah.
And God sometimes does work in that way. But sometimes he calls us into a process of getting help. And so I think when there are things that, well, especially for children, and she's got the OCD, a lot of times children have a really hard time owning their feelings, and so they will compartmentalize them.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And even project them out.
Yes.
And kids are known, and I don't know if she's delayed in her emotional maturation or not. She's 9 years old, but... And I'm just putting this out there as a suggestion. Sometimes kids will kind of concretize and create something else to own their feelings.
Kids understand the world through imagination.
Yes.
Right? It's why why cartoons work for kids and not adults.
Right.
And so it's that imagination.
Speak for yourself, Chris.
That's true. Right. So, with that, it's that we take our internal world and we put it to imagination.
Yes.
And so... we don't want to dismiss the spiritual nature, but we don't want to just say, "Hey, there's a demon here, and we need to cast out the demon." There is a mental health issue here that needs the care and help provided in the mental health community.
Yeah.
A good Christian counselor that can help her out.
Right.
And that's the tricky part. What you just said, and Amy, we want to send you a resource too. I was thinking of the book "Take Your Life Back." Would be probably a helpful resource for you, because again, you're in a situation where you're trying to parent a child through a very, very difficult situation, and don't do that in isolation.
No.
I don't know if you're part of a recovery group, small group, those kinds of things, but just that piece there, Chris, where you talked about where's the balance, where's the...
Yeah,
it's
and
a
adding in
thing.
Adding in play therapy.
Yeah, would be huge.
Adding in a therapist, that could be helpful to sort this out.
And I would seek out a good Christian, you know, child therapist in your area to help come alongside you, support you, and most importantly, support your daughter.
Yeah, right. And we can find one in your area, Amy, too. But it's just tricky because, as Christians, I mean, obviously we believe that there's an enemy, and that the Word says he's out to steal, kill, and destroy. So we believe that. And yet that's going to manifest itself in different ways. And so, as Jill said, we need to be comprehensive in our resources of knowing how to fix or to address the issue. So, Amy, thank you for calling. I know it took a lot of courage to do that today. We'll be right back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Thanks again for joining us today. Zach Matchett here with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Chris Williams. The number here, 1-800-229-3000. Please give us a call. We'll be here for 2 hours a day. Lines are open. We'd love to have you call in so we can chat with you and get you the help that you need. I just want to make you aware, if you've not gotten your hands on the one-year life recovery prayer devotional, there are just a few days remaining where if you send in a gift of any amount to New Life to contribute to what's happening here ministry-wise, we will send you a copy of that devotional. And, you know, it's interesting. In a world full of productivity, prayer just shrinks and shrinks and shrinks, doesn't it? It's like we got too many things to do, so we don't make time to pray. And if we don't have time to commune with God, the to-do list will win the day. And or if we have too much idle time, we let our idle mind wander without actually going to God in prayer. And so this devotional, I think, would be a great resource for you. So just to make you aware, if you contribute to New Life, we will send you a copy, again, of the one-year life recovery prayer devotional. We're going to get to our next call here. This is Jason listening to us at WJRZ in Knoxville, Tennessee. And so, Jason, welcome to the program. How can we help you today?
Hey, long-time sinner, new beginner. I got a question for you.
Sure.
I'm a delivery driver, and I don't have a lot of time to read the Bible, but I've got an app that also has audiobook functions. Mm-hmm. Is there any difference in having someone read the Bible to you as an audiobook or reading it yourself, words?
That's a great question, and I'm glad you're asking it, because here's why. Because, you know, we are very lucky to have the Bible in text form. That is a real gift, because for centuries that was not possible. In fact, if you actually go into the certainly in the Hebrew scriptures and in the world before Christ, but even in the first century, oftentimes the scripture was read aloud. It was a narrative oral culture. And so you're actually, in some ways, if you're listening to an audiobook, you're kind of hearkening back to how many of the first believers had access to it. But I want to follow up question, Jason, even just asking, is there a difference between reading the Bible versus hearing the Bible on audio? Do you feel a sense of conflict within you of like, oh, I'm just listening to it, but I'm not actually reading it? Is there something that is causing you to feel that way?
No, I've just listened to several preachers' messages, and they're like, you know, there's a lot of people that are nowadays, you know, just listen to Scare Candy or whatever, coming up, you know, listening to the sermons, this, that, and the other, like they're not taking advantage of reading the Bible for themselves, whether it's someone speaking it or actual words. I didn't know whether one was just good or the other or not.
No, I appreciate the clarification. I'll just real quickly speak this, and I'll let the guys jump in here. I think that is probably uniquely different in your question as far as like a pastor saying listening to ear candy. I think that, again, without knowing who said that and what the context was, that is true. We can be susceptible to hearing things that maybe are not consistent with God's word, and so we need to be going back to the word to make sure that that is consistent. That's what it says. But I think your question is more about some people just learn differently. Some people are visual learners, and they read, and it sticks with their comprehension much better. Other people are more auditory in their comprehension. So listening to it read, you know, some kids are like that. Some kids maybe that struggle reading comprehension, if the story is told to them, they're able to absorb it much better. And so I think there's a different kind of learning style, too. So, Jill, I'll throw it to you next.
Well,
I mean,
Jason,
what do you want to speak to it?
I just want to commend you for actually coming up with a creative way to access God's word while you're in the car. Because if you do that for a living, you're driving a lot, you can't sit there and read a book, right? And to, you know, and it's...
Well, the book.
What?
Yes,
not just a book. So I think listening, and if you're listening to God's word being recited, I think that and Zach, like you said, people learn differently. I love audio versions. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I like to listen over and over and over again. It really sinks in, especially like when you have this idle time. So I think it's a great idea to not miss out on God's word.
And I would hearken back to, what is the purpose? Okay. And I think this is sometimes where we lose it, where we turn it into an arbitrary ritual.
Yes.
Rather than a purposeful action. And the purposeful action of Scripture is that God's life would integrate into our life, mm-hmm. and our life would integrate into God's life. And so whether that's listened or read, my response to that is, amen.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, right.
And to what you were saying, Zach, is in these different styles of learning, what we want to be able to do and what we have the great privilege and advantage of is, in all of the horrible things about access to tech or what technology access to, it also there's some good things. So it takes discipline in that. And, and whatever works best for God's life to integrate into yours and yours to integrate into his, do that.
Yeah, well, it's a good spiritual discipline, too, because, you know, a lot of people would think, well, I don't have the time. I'm on the road all day. What am I supposed to do? You know, I feel like it's easy for us to make the excuses. And so, Jason, I appreciate that you found a, listen, this is my everyday life. This is how I make a living. I'm going to make the most of it by listening to it. And so I that would be my encouragement to you. And I want to actually send you a copy of the 1 year Every Man's Bible in print, because during the times that you're not driving, it would be, I would love to just give you a Bible and continue to seek after God's word in that way. And I just think, man, what a creative way to have a spiritual discipline. I remember a quote, Robert Banks said this years ago. He wrote in a book called Redeeming the Routines. And he talked about how the hardest theology is the theology of the everyday.
That's good.
And because he was saying that figuring out how to follow God in our everyday life is the greatest of all challenges, more so than every abstract concept about God and big, you know, big theological jargon. A friend of his said, oh, I don't have time for all that. I'm just trying to figure out how to follow Jesus in everyday life. And he was like, well, good luck with that, because that's the hardest theology. Mm-hmm. So way to go, Jason, for incorporating that into your everyday life. We'll send you that Bible. We'll be right back.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the 1 year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Thanks again for hanging out with us today. We are taking your calls for 2 hours. 1-800-229-3000 is the number. I am Zach Matchett. Dr. Jill Hubbard and Chris Williams are with me, as well as Larry Sonnenberg. I'd love to throw it to Larry. What do you got for us?
Well, we're coming up on a deadline for Restore Workshop. If you want to get a discount, $200 off if you sign up by this coming Friday. So I just want to encourage you, ladies, take advantage of that. It can really help you pay for your room if you want to come and stay at the hotel. Mm-hmm. But that workshop, Jill, I'm going to ask you to read this. I should have told you this.
Oh, okay.
This spot. This one right here. There's a testimony here from a past Restore workshop, and I think it sounds better for ladies reading that testimony from a lady.
Oh, okay. She says, when I came to Restore, I was stuck in a constant state of sadness. I had frequent thoughts of escape amidst long days of snapping at my kids. I had no clear path forward, so my mind raced only with thoughts of the past. The strength of Restore is its people. warm group of beautiful women going through the same similar situations, and compassionate professionals listening, teaching, and giving sound wisdom. I am leaving with a path forward, resources for the now, and friends for the in-between. I feel connected to God again and connected to myself again. I am refreshed and ready-ish for the journey ahead. I am heading home, knowing that I have a beautiful future, no matter what that may look like.
You know, that's a testimony of hope.
Sure is.
You know, and where are we without hope? You know, we're down in the dumps, and we're wondering, where's God? But God is a God of hope, and that you'll find that hope, and you'll find ways to get through what you're going through, ladies. And that's really important. So I just want to encourage you. You know, it's, if you're stuck like she was in that sadness and snapping at your kids and just don't know where the path is leading you, please give us a call. This workshop is amazing. And again, $200 discount if you sign up by this Friday. And folks, we need you also to please help support us financially. I don't get tired of asking, because I believe so much in what this ministry does.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing, and I don't have any apologies for saying we need your help. It makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
We can do bigger, better, more, and that's what we want to do, because it's God that's doing the work. We set the stage, when the Holy Spirit moves in, and he does the work, and it's amazing. So thank you for whatever support you can give, however you can give it.
It's always great to hear powerful testimonies like the one Jill read, too, especially as, you know, we started the program today talking about doubt. And, you know, I can imagine even just hearing somebody, what you just read, Jill, and people going like, okay, yeah, great for that person. What about me? You know, but at the same time, there's nothing more powerful than hearing a person's story and hearing their...
Well, you can tell she really had a shift.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And like so many women stuck in that place, and like she said, snapping at her kids, because you just run out of margin, right, when you're in so much pain. I love that.
Yeah, and just know that when you contribute, as Larry said, you're making a difference just on the ground. Ministry and life change is happening, so thank you for everything you do to make this ministry possible. We're going to go to our next call here. Jim is listening to us in Pennsylvania, WBYN, so we're going to bring him on. Hi, Jim. Welcome to New Life Live. How can we help you today?
Hi. Yeah. Thanks. It took me like 25 years to get through, but good. I got through.
Today is your day, Jim. This is all God's timing, maybe.
Perseverance, Jim. Wow.
I hate to see that phone bill.
No, I tried that 5 years, and then I give up. But the thing is, I want to know if I'm crazy. You guys had a show on, and, well, I won't talk about it. I'll just say I have an off-and-on girlfriend for 8 years, and I want out of it so bad. And now she's, like, trying to get back in again. And always leads to a fight, and always a yelling and shouting match. And I'm the crazy one. I'm insane. I have, bipolar. I guess it came from, I just lost 20 years of sobriety, okay, this summer. And the thing is, she would always say, oh, well, they're calling you bipolar, so you're the one with the problem. And then she'd always put it on me. But every time we'd go out to eat, and this was sometimes every day, she would be staring at members of the opposite sex. And I look around at other couples, and I'm like, hey, well, they're sitting there having conversations, and I'm talking to her, and she's looking at the waiter or the cook or the chef. And this was going on for years. And then most of it was with black men, and because she used to have relations. So the thing is, it keeps coming at me. And then especially ever since the VA awarded me 70% PTSD about 4 years ago, then she really had something to hang on to. And she's always throwing this Dr. Phil stuff at me. And just basically, it's always my fault. And I'm the crazy one.
So you said you said on and off again, though. You said it's been on and off again for 8 years? That's how long you've been in a relationship?
8 years.
Yeah, Yeah, this is tricky. Well, again, in every relationship, there's two people. I hear the frustration in your voice of some things that are going on in your life that are making this frustrating for you personally. Chris, you know, again, when when couples go through this, maybe lack of trust in each other, more of the, you know, what's the, we're quick to rebuke, slow to repent. So it's like, no, you're the problem. Like, we'll get you fixed and everything will be fine. Like, and how both people can say that to one another. So, again, I hear the frustration in Jim's voice. What would you say as a next step?
So, Jim, what was your sobriety from?
Alcohol and drugs.
Okay.
2002.
I'm going to introduce you to your new drug of choice. You ready for this? She, insert first name, is your primary drug of choice. Because she will make you feel better in a moment. She will numb or anesthetize something in your life. It could be loneliness. It could be fear. It could be anything. What good drugs do is they help us get through a momentary discomfort, and sometimes big discomfort, only to leave us in more pain and confusion.
Right.
So you
I've got to get back to recovery. I want to
be yes. Your primary recovery needs to be from her.
Hmm. Okay. I got it. And she wants to start up again.
Yes.
And
Yes, but she also, you are her drug of choice. That's where it gets really, really confusing. Because she wants you to take care of something in her life, but she doesn't actually want to relate to you or connect you at a deeper level. It's what we call an intimacy disorder. And it's just so much pain is involved in that. Mm-hmm. That you want to be able to separate yourself, give her to God, give yourself to God, and get back to Jim doing what Jim needs to do to show up better in the world.
Yeah, well said, Chris. Tell anything.
And see, Jim, you're not fixing her. So she is criticizing you to try to get you to a place where then you'll meet her needs, right? And that's never going to happen. I'm betting she has an idealistic view of what she needs and what she wants you to be. And when she moves away from you, she goes back to that idealizing. Yeah. And then when she's with you, she devalues you. Because in reality, nobody is good as our ideal that we create.
Yeah.
Right? And it's a no-win pattern. She needs some insight and help. And I love, Chris, what you said. That is so true.
Yeah. Idealism is a really powerful idol. Mm-hmm. Really powerful.
Sure is.
Because it always creates the better plan, or, maybe if this gets fixed.
If he just did this.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
Then things would be good.
The way I describe idealism is that the standard is finding the unicorn, and it beats you up for not finding it when it doesn't exist in the first place.
Right.
That's the insanity of it.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. Well, and I want to send you a resource, Jim, because I know here we are talking about all this. We're not in your situation. We're not at the dinner table where you kind of catch her looking at other men or in these fights. And so maybe it seems luxurious for us to say, but I want to send you a resource to maybe help you kind of get through the next steps here. I would recommend, as Chris said, your primary therapy, you need to enter into a recovery journey of a unique kind. It's similar in the sobriety from alcohol, but it's also now to combine that to see both of those things as part of the same core issue, you know, the same cloth. Is there a book that we can quickly recommend to send Jim here?
I think the Life Recovery Bible.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Let's do that. We'll send you a copy of that, Jim. Thanks, Chris. And dysfunctional relationships and how easy it is for us, and again, easy for us to say, because all of us are susceptible to pointing out the faults of another. It's like, you judge other people by their actions, yourself by your intentions. So you're way harder at grading their test and way easy on grading your own. And but at the same time, that's challenging. So Jim, thanks for calling today. We hope the Life Recovery Bible is a good support for you. We'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
So glad you're joining us today. 1-800-229-3000 is the number here on New Life Live. And we're hanging out with you a couple hours taking your calls. And Yeah, I'm with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Chris Williams. I'm Zach Matchett, filling in for Steve today. Great calls today. We've kind of got a variety of people, and I've heard some themes, and it's that even the things of life that are on the ground, practical struggles, there is a spiritual component to it, all of them. And there are forces of evil that are, gosh, they're trying. The enemy is real. As a Christian, I know that I'm susceptible to the suffering of the world because even Jesus was susceptible to the suffering of the world, and he was God, and so I can't feel like I'm exempt. And yet, there are the things out there that are trying to destroy marriages and destroy relationships and destroy parent-child bonds and to destroy mental health and all these types of things, and it's a both-and. And so we've heard kind of some common themes through the calls today. And so, again, thanks so much for reaching out and chatting with us. If you're on the line, stay on there. We'll get to you as quickly as possible. We're going to go to Rachel next. Rachel's listening to us, actually watching us on YouTube. She might be listening to us as well, in Allentown, Pennsylvania. So, Rachel, welcome to New Life Live. How can we help you today?
Hi. Sorry, I'm a little nervous today.
That's okay.
It's just the topic. So I've been struggling with my parents drinking, and I've said things, and so have other family members, and I don't know how to show them. I love them, but I just don't feel like their drinking is leading them like on the right path. They're Christians, and I just don't know where to like make the boundary and how to like start it. Like in my mind, it's easy. You just, you know, you say, when you do this, I'm leaving. But it's very hard.
Rachel,
how
old are you and how old are your parents?
I'm 26 and my parents are in their mid to late 50s.
Okay. How long has their drinking been an issue?
It was more towards like, I was already out of high school and college. I have two younger siblings who were in high school, and so like I guess they're less like overseeing of them and like more just kind of relaxed. But I also think their stress levels have increased like over the years.
Yeah.
Especially with some losses and things.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
So when you were younger, they didn't really drink? Or it was much less?
It was like occasional, like a glass of wine, but like not getting drunk.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so you've noticed an increase over the years, and so when you're with them, what happens to cause you to be uncomfortable? Is it that they get drunk?
My parents will get drunk, and then it's mostly my father. He gets like kind of mean to my mom. And like the way he treats her, I just don't feel like is as like helpful. And then my mom gets kind of like more just like airheaded in a way, like that just like causes others to like make fun of her, and I just don't like people making fun of my mom. Yeah, or like making
they become less of themselves. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, Rachel, these are very, very hard conversations to have. And I think that you need a lot of support to do that. Because our parents sort of become our safe place or our biggest cheerleaders or supporters, so they're the hardest people to confront, because we don't want to lose that relationship. The stakes feel so high, and yet in that, I believe the stakes are high because it's not them as a person as much as them as a person that I'm deeply related to, and the quality of that connection, is being compromised severely by drinking. And so when confronting these behaviors, I think it's a both and. It's the recognition of how much they mean to you, how much that you love them, adore them, and want what's best for them, as well as yourself. And in the midst of that, you're seeing that these things happen when they drink, and they're very difficult for you to be a part of. So you can't be a part of those things. And when we identify what those things are, you know, and get specific, it tends to be a lot more helpful. Hey, if there's drinking going on, I'm out. And here's why I'm out. And in a lot of ways, here's where I want to make it about you and not them. It's okay. This, I don't do this. This is not what I do. So as a result of that, in these situations, I'm out.
Yeah. Jill, anything you want
to
add?
Yeah, well, and I'm thinking, too, you know, maybe prior to that, and maybe, I don't know if who's easier to talk to for you, maybe your mom, to first come in with empathy that you see that their life has been really stressful, right?
Yeah.
And that they've had a lot of losses. And to, if you felt like you could, with a lot of support, Mom, have you noticed that you and Dad seem to be drinking more? Which is...
I've had these conversations with them, and my mom always admits, like, that she has, like, if she's gone, like, too far.
Okay.
And then she apologizes for my dad, but my dad has not really,
Okay. And have you been able...
Admitted to, like, having...
Right.
Sorry.
No, you're good. And have you been able to share with your mom that it makes you uncomfortable?
Yeah, I'm pretty direct.
Okay,
I've done
good.
The direct, and I've said, like, how it makes me feel, and I've said how other people who are outside of our family have noticed these things in increasing, and also that they're being identified as, like, the fun drinkers, or, like, and so I don't know if, like...
So Rachel, you're right there.
I don't know what to do.
No. This is good.
Right, so this is good. You've
this
done
good,
all the pre-work that I was
because
talking
I,
about.
I said some people can hear a boundary. Other people need to feel the boundary. Right?
Yeah.
So they're going to have to feel the boundary. So they're going to have to know that you are dead serious about following through in what you will or will not tolerate in your life.
Yeah.
What works for you and what doesn't work for you?
Yes, absolutely.
Right?
Rachel, quick question, too. We just have a couple of minutes, but I just wanted to ask this real quick. It's really painful to watch your, as an adult, your adult parents go through something like this. My question to you is just real quickly, do you feel like you have a group of people or a person, a safe person, to process the pain of all of this with them?
I mean, I have a husband, but I probably, because they're great, like, people and, like, all that in the church, like, I just, I don't want to, like,
What about an Al-Anon group?
You know, like,
Yeah.
Rachel, what about going to an Al-Anon meeting?
Yeah.
Where it's confidential.
That requires me, like, admitting that they're, like, it's... more than just like a phase.
Yes.
Well, and you don't have to label them. You don't have to diagnose them. You know that their drinking is a problem for you.
Yeah.
And so that's a place to go and hear and talk about it.
We would just want you, I would just hate for you to kind of carry this burden alone because we hear the sadness in your voice.
Yeah.
I would encourage you, we'll get the resources to you. They're in your area. If you call 1-800-NEW-LIFE, we'll get you the help you need. We're running short on time. Thanks so much for joining the program on New Life Live today. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.